Done.
Great. Well, morning, everyone. And I guess we're meeting this morning in a way that none of us would have considered possible just a few months ago. It's Mother's Day. The ladies of the church aren't going to be receiving their flowers as they normally do on Mother's Day. And we miss these little things, don't we? And there are birthdays today. Happy birthday, Paula. Happy birthday, Marilyn, if you're there. Didn't spot you earlier. And coming up later this week, it's Hannah's birthday on Wednesday, Hannah Taylor. And then it's Joan's birthday next Sunday. And sometimes everything feels like a bad dream, doesn't it? Some aspects of life seem so normal. We get up, we look out the window, the sun is shining, we take a shower, but then we remember that the world has changed. It's a different place, and a meeting like this using Zoom just feels weird. Feels weird to me, maybe a bit less weird if you were part of the prayer meeting last Wednesday. So this is our second go, and in the end we'll get used to it. But none of us have ever really lived through something like this. It's really shaking our world. But God is the same, and he's at work. And I wonder if we believe that. We're living in the day of his grace and his patience. And I hope we're praying that these events that are shaking the world will be used to waken many people up to a sense of their own weakness, and that they would call out to someone who is mighty to save. So as we start this next 35 minutes together, let me just read some well-known words from Psalm 46, where the psalmist says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." Let me pray for us as we start together. Heavenly Father, we live in times that are unprecedented in living memory, changing times. But we thank you, Lord God, that you do not change, that you are still on your throne, that Jesus is reigning in heaven. And Lord, we ask that you would use these events to wake up the world, that we could see that we are not in control of our lives. We're not in control of the things that happen to us. And we pray that belief that we can solve our problems in our strength, in our way, we pray that people will come to see that that is just a lie. We can't solve our problems by ourselves. We don't have it in us. And we pray for Christians this morning around the world. And what an opportunity we have to love our neighbours and to care for people and make a difference. And we pray that our response as Christians, that we pray that we will be able to offer hope and comfort and peace in a way that the world can't. But we thank you for your common grace, and we thank you that there are many people who are not Christians who are responding in love and compassion and self-sacrifice. Everyone is made in your image, Lord. And we thank you that human beings are capable of such acts of loving kindness to other people. We thank you so much for those who are working so hard in medical care, in nursing care, in keeping food and supplies coming onto our shelves, who are delivering food. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them, that you will give them your grace to continue to serve others, even at cost to themselves. We want to pray for those this morning who are already ill. We want to pray for Paul. Thank you that he's been feeling a bit better in recent days. We want to pray for Alan and Margaret. Thank you that they have started to feel better. We pray for others who are unwell, whether it's with the virus or with just other fevers or viruses at this time, we pray that you would grant your healing grace and power. We want to pray for churches all around the country. People are trying to meet in a way that will feel very unfamiliar. We pray that technology will work. I pray that people will be able to hear me as I speak this morning, that my bandwidth will be enough. But I pray that there'll be grace and patience in churches as people try things and maybe they don't work so well and some things are unsuccessful. We pray that you will help those churches and us to love each other as we try to find a way forward in a very different world. Please, will you give us the grace? Will you give us the love and the patience with each other? And we pray that you'll bless us now. May this time be one where we can be encouraged, where we can grow in our love for the Lord, and where we can grow in our love for each other. So please do us good. Show us your grace and your mercy as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. That's so weird to say amen and not hear anyone say anything. But I'm sure many people said amen on their mute. So what I want to do, I want to use our time this morning to do a couple of things, one which will be the longer one and one which will be much shorter. And firstly, I just want to use this time so that God can speak to us through his word as we think about what the Bible says to people who face difficulty and danger. And I read an article recently that I found very helpful. So I'm going to share some thoughts based on that article. So it's not a 30-minute sermon. It's probably 15 minutes or so, maybe 20 at the most. Just some thoughts about what God is going to say to his people, to us, as we face this situation together. And then secondly, I just want to say a few things about how we can love and support each other, what we're putting in place. We're a particular part of the family of God here in Wiltshire. We want to love each other. We want to care for the weak. We want to care for the vulnerable. We want to support each other. And I want to think about how we can do this together. So firstly, let's think about what God might be saying to us as we live through these anxious times. If you've got a Bible with you, it's fine if you don't have one. I'm going to read a passage anyway. But if you've got a Bible with you and you want to be looking, we're going to be looking at a passage from Joshua chapter 3. So that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, sixth book of the Bible. And we're going to be looking at that for a little while. But I wonder, 3 months ago, what was it that you were anxious and fearful about? Think back 3 months when the world was very different. What were you anxious about? What were you fearful about? It could have been many things. But it wouldn't have been the coronavirus, would it? That wasn't even a word in our vocabularies. We didn't know about it. Now, some people right now are still facing bigger anxieties, impending health results or operations or family emergencies or illnesses that they've already got, that they're already facing. But for many people around the world, the coronavirus will now be the biggest source of anxiety, something that 3 months ago was unknown. And I think the onset of this disease, the speed that things have changed, have shown us just how misplaced some of our anxieties can be. We don't know what a single day can bring our way. But the coronavirus gives us opportunity to think about how God meets us in the face of a particular sort of anxiety. Because sometimes anxieties can be very uncertain, can't they? People can be anxious about losing a job, even though there's no evidence that their job is at risk. Or people can be anxious that something bad may happen in their family, even though there's no particular reason to think that it will. But there can just be a fear that something bad will happen. But the coronavirus is different. It's out there. It's very specific. It's It's in China, then it's in Italy, then it's in London, and now it's in Wiltshire. It's coming. We know that it's coming. We have to face it in months, or more likely in weeks, and some are facing it right now. And the question is, how bad will it be? We know that it's bad, but how bad? So here's an anxiety where we can see the danger. We know that it's real. People are dying. They're going to continue to die. What does God have to say about this type of fear and anxiety? And thankfully, this type of experience was very familiar to many situations that we read about in the pages of biblical history. There are many examples where the danger could be clearly seen, and there's a time of waiting, not knowing if, how, or when God would deliver his people. So we're going to think about the nation of Israel as they were finally about to enter the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the desert. So we're at the start of the book of Joshua, and Moses has just died, and Joshua is taking over leadership. So right at the start of the book of Joshua, in chapter 1, verse 10, you can see it says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you were to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So they're about to arrive at the Jordan River, and the promised land is ahead of them, and the spies are about to make their expedition to view the land and to view Jericho and bring back a report. But there's a significant threat, the Jordan River. So let me just read Joshua chapter 3 to you. It's not a very long chapter, so we'll just think we've got time to read the whole thing. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, that's about half a mile in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you've not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe, a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down towards the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. So as chapter 3 opens, the people are camping in front of the river, and the Jordan River is in flood. Did you see that in verse 15? The Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. But I wonder if you noticed a little phrase as we read the start of that chapter, that the people had been waiting in front of the river for 3 days. Verse 2 says that it was at the end of the 3 days that the officers went through the camp. So I want you to think and imagine, how were the people feeling over the course of those 3 days? They can see the danger. It's right in front of them. They know that they have to go through it with their children, their possessions, their herds of animals. They're looking at this river, and it's overflowing its banks in the flood time. It's probably over 10 feet deep. It's probably over 100 feet wide. It's fast flowing water. It's dangerous. And while they are waiting, the Lord has not told anyone what he's going to do. In verse 7 of chapter 3, God only announces his plans to Joshua once those 3 days are over. All Israelites know is that God has promised them the land on the other side of the river, and that they're going to have to cross it to take possession of this land. And then they have to think about that for 3 days. They have to look at it for 3 days. It's such an opportunity for their heads to spin and for thoughts to go round and round. What if? What if? What about? What's going to happen? But they had to wait for the Lord to reveal his plans. They needed to be ready, but they needed to wait. And I hope you can see the similarity between the situation that they faced and the situation that we're facing now. The virus, it lies ahead of us. We know that it's there. We can't see it like a physical river, but the waters of this virus, they seem dark. They seem threatening. We're not sure how we're going to get through. We don't know to what extent we are going to be personally affected, and our families, those that we love. But what we do know is that God is calling us to serve him, to love him, to trust him, and to love our neighbour, whoever that might be. And I think perhaps we all have instinctive reactions to a crisis that are more or less helpful. Some people might be more inclined just to drop everything, to give up on every current responsibility, fling themselves forward without seeking the Lord, without thinking things through, without looking for his timing, just an instinctive reaction. Others might be more eager to retreat and simply focus all energies on ensuring that we and our immediate loved ones are safe. Perhaps some people just feel overwhelmed. The world feels terribly out of control and uncertain. It feels like a frightening place. We don't know how anything works anymore. And it's interesting that God often makes his people wait to see what he's going to do. We could have looked at the crossing of the Red Sea. That was similar in some ways, wasn't it? The people could see the armies chasing them. They could see the waters of the Red Sea ahead of them, and they knew that the Lord had promised deliverance, but they had to wait all through a long night, knowing that the army of the enemy was there, before they experienced the deliverance of the Lord. Or what about Peter in prison in Acts chapter 12? He was awaiting execution. We don't know how many days he was in prison, but we are told he had to wait until the very night before the day that Herod was going to bring him out to the people for execution before the angel rescued him. We love hearing stories, don't we, of amazing last-minute dramatic rescue. It makes great TV when something like that happens. It makes the news. But we don't want that to be our experience, do we? We'd prefer God to provide solutions in plenty of time, solutions that we know are coming. We know how God is going to deliver us. If we were back there with the Israelites, we'd prefer, wouldn't we, that we'd get to the river to find that God had already stopped its flow and there was a nice dry path already waiting for us. We wouldn't want to have to stand in front of a flooded river wondering what on earth God is going to do. So at this time, we need to learn to wait well in the face of our fears. God often calls us to wait in the presence of his enemies, doesn't he? He often comes to help us later than we would like and in different ways than we would like. But if we know in advance how the deliverance is going to arrive, then I think we can be tempted to forget all about the one who delivers us. We trust in the deliverance if we see it coming, and we stop trusting in God, our deliverer. And God knows that every day we need to be reminded of our dependence on him. We were created to be dependent beings. Even in heaven, we're going to be totally dependent beings. But the truth is, we don't like being dependent, do we? We want to be independent. We want to be the ones in control. And that's why God needs to show us over and over again that we are dependent, but that we can trust him. He will help us no matter what happens and no matter what trouble comes at us. So, how do we wait well? How do we wait well at this time? Firstly, let's not be in denial. I think there's a lot of value in keep calm and carry on, but there's a danger that we act like everything is normal. Things are very much not normal, and it's fine to acknowledge that. Waiting well in the face of danger doesn't mean that we have to pretend there is no danger. It may well be that people we know and love will die in the current months. The Lord doesn't promise us a happy ever after ending in this present life on earth. Jesus actually said, in this world, you will have trouble. But what comes next? Take heart, I have overcome the world, said Jesus. But secondly, let's use this opportunity to deepen our trust in the living God. He is good. He cares for us. We really can cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. And if you're anything like me, that isn't something that we do once and never need to do again. We need to do that time and time again. I find that my thoughts can sometimes run on what feels like an anxiety soundtrack. It's playing in my head, and I recognize it. I take it to God. I pray. But then 2 minutes later, the soundtrack is reloaded, and it feels like it's on one of those autoplay loops that you can't break out of. But every time we realize that our thoughts are churning with anxieties and what ifs and future events that we can't do anything about, we turn to the Lord. We remember who he is, what he's done for us in Jesus. Jesus went to the cross so that we could be forgiven for all our wrongdoing. He has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. And perhaps there are new routines in our day that can give us this opportunity to remember the Lord every time we wash our hands. 20 seconds. Let's entrust ourselves to God. Let's remember why we're doing it. Let's take a moment to pray, to recommit ourselves to God, to pray for others. The flooded river is ahead of us, just as it was for the nation of Israel. We don't know how we're going to cross it, and we don't need to try and work this out. God is going to give us grace for each day. We're called to love God, and we're called to love our neighbor. And we need to ask God just to show us how that looks for each day. We need to ask him, Lord, show me how can I live for you today without being anxious about what tomorrow may bring. And finally, whatever happens over the coming weeks and months with the coronavirus, unless Jesus returns first, we're all going to face another river. This is the one that has the promised land of heaven on the far side. In the end, we're all going to face that flooded river of death. But when we get to that river, we don't have to wonder how God is going to part the waters and bring us safely through. We know that Jesus has already parted those waters on the cross. If we have trusted in Jesus, we know that those waters, that river, can't do us any harm. We know that he will bring us safely to the other side. So take courage. May the words that Moses spoke to Joshua before the Israelites came to the river, may those words be God's words to us today, where he said, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God bless you all. Amen. The second thing, actually, let's just pause.